I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, our writer Jimmy Israel, with us from Cleveland, from NPR West, which is in Culver City, California, Rick Najera. He's a television and film writer, producer, director, actor. He does it all. Here in our Washington, D.C. studios, Corey Dade, contributing editor for The Root, and Dave Zirin is sports editor for The Nation. He says that he's snowed in, so he's still snuggled up behind his coal stove. So, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing good. I'm getting a fade right now.
Mm-hmm. Is that the truth? Okay. Well, you know what? Let's get things started. Former Minnesota Viking punter Chris Cluey, you know, he dropped the bomb yesterday, and not necessarily by kicking a football. The website Deadspin published an open letter from Cluey called, "I was an NFL player until I was fired by two cowards and a bigot." Wow, that has all kind of SEO problems as a title. But anyway, that's crazy, Michelle.
Well, he says, well, first of all, just to set the table here, he is one of a handful of professional athletes who are not gay, who decided that they wanted to become allies of the gay rights movement, right, and speak up in support of gay rights. You might remember that former Ravens linebacker Brendan Iyambadejo spoke to us last year. Chris Cluey spoke to one of our colleagues, and I'll just play a clip from that conversation. This is from last summer.
There's no reason that we should be discriminating against people in the United States of America, considering how many times we've fought this battle before. We've fought this with slavery, we've fought it with suffrage, and we've fought it with segregation. And it seems like every 50 to 60 years, we keep having that same stupid war over people who want to control other people's lives versus those who just want to be free to live and to love other people.
So here, okay, so in May of 2013, he was released from the Vikings, and at the time, he says, a lot of people ask him if he thought it was because of his activism, and he says he honestly doesn't know. So he says, "I honestly don't know if my activism was the reason I got fired. However, I'm pretty confident it was." And then he goes on to tell you why he thinks that. So there it is.
Thank you, Michelle. Cluey.
Well, let me tell you one more thing. Because Mike Prefer says that special teams coach said, you know, he said that one of his reasons for speaking out was that he feels that Mike Prefer should not have anything to do with coaching anybody, that he made explicit homophobic slurs. And one of the things, reasons he said he wrote this piece is that he doesn't think he should be coaching anywhere.
So thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. So it sounds as if he's riding hard. But he wasn't riding hard enough to make this claim while he was still on the team. He decided to make this claim, you know, sometime later in an essay, in a, like an overlong essay. I mean, I respect his right to advocate for whomever he wants to advocate for. But, you know, they still have this thing called getting fired for cause. And as it happens, you know, he was underperforming. You know, at the time he was let go. Now, it's great that he's an advocate for gays and lesbians. That's cool, but if you work in the mailroom, you can't be on Twitter all day, you know, advocating for saving the whales, and then there's mail to be put out. I mean, you're gonna lose your job. You're not gonna lose your job because you're trying to save the whales. You're gonna lose your job because you're not doing.
Yeah, but
your
Jimmy,
job.
I don't think it's that simple though.
Go ahead, Corey.
It may not, in fact, be that simple.
Okay.
But I mean,
let's hear some other voices on this.
Go ahead, Corey.
Well, first of all, he had an injury to torn meniscus and he needed surgery, so his performance did go down. But you know, in the NFL, punters in particular are recycled. I mean, the guy has been in the league for 8 years. That is an eternity in the league. The average lifespan, career span of an NFL player is about, what, Dave, what, 2 years,
and
two
and
a half?
Three and a half.
So he's been in there for eight. So he has proved his mettle. He can get over an injury and come back. But at the end of the day, you know, he made it easier for him to be fired. They can say it was for performance, but the truth of the matter is there are always punters and place kickers in particular who have moments of inconsistencies, moments of slump. I think what's interesting in what he wrote is he described the process of the consequences that happened and the fact that before his play went down, you know, his coach in particular and his coaches in particular started actually criticizing him because of his because of his stance against the anti-gay movement in Minnesota, when his owner actually said, "You're doing a great thing. Keep up the good work." I thought that was a key point. Looking at the process of how his coaches in particular turned against him, I think, was the eye-opener here for everyone.
That's exactly right.
Dave, let me just say one other thing. Preford denies all. He had his own written statement last night, and the Vikings said that they're going to investigate those comments, but they also insist that he was cut strictly for performance reasons.
Of course.
So, go ahead. No, Dave, go ahead.
You know, Preford said some of my best family members are gay. here's the thing about the story that's so interesting. Corey said it exactly right. This is the sports equivalent of an Edward Snowden moment, because this is about whistleblowing. This is about doing the thing that, frankly, fans are never really allowed to do, which is see how the process of policing politics actually takes place inside the locker room. And that's what gives this article such value, regardless of Cluey's value as a punter. He walks us through the stages, called into the coach's office, being told sports and politics don't mix, getting weird surreptitious texts from the general manager, Rick Spielman, saying, hey, cut it out with the tweeting. And then, of course, the real bomb, and I really do pardon the expression on bomb, was his allegation that his special teams coach, Mike Prefer, who has control over his employment, said in a loud voice in front of his teammates that he thought all gay people should be put on an island and that island should be nuked.
It raises all
kinds of questions about workplace and about the rights, frankly, to have a harassment-free workplace.
Rick, what do you want to say about this?
I just want to say that, you know, first of all, I'm a Latino, so I'm used to this kind of stuff all the time, and I think as African-American men, you feel the same way. It's odd that he went, oh, my God, there's prejudice and racism and homophobia and things like this when he took a stand. So he actually documented it. But most of us have seen this kind of work all the time. We know what happens when you stand up for anything in your job, and he'd never had it happen to him before. So this was a new experience to him was prejudice. Which I think was fascinating.
I think athletes, I think it's all the more interesting because athletes have the highest possible profile to do anything. And when they go into the world of seriousness and advocate for anything political, there's a backlash. I'll remind us of what Michael Jordan said in response to criticism that he didn't take a bigger stand on issues of the day. He said, Republicans go to games and buy sneakers too.
You know,
that speaks volumes.
It does speak volumes.
So what are you saying, though?
I'm saying that his calculation was that I have fans across the political spectrum. And if I take a stand on one thing, I alienate fans on the other. So for him, it's a business decision. Whereas people like Bill Russell, Jim Brown, et cetera, they actually risked their careers in the 60s to actually take steps, and Jackie Robinson, too, risk their careers to get behind the civil rights movement. And today, you don't see as much of that happening.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Rick this because entertainment, I mean, it seems very similar in the sense that it's a big world, but it's also a small world, right? And there are a lot of relationships that matter. I mean, is this the kind of thing you think that would, even though I would think same-sex marriage rights or gay rights is, I think, a more popular cause in Hollywood.
You know, but it's a popular cause.
But if it's something that's not, what do you think that something like this would cost somebody a job in your field?
You know, it would cost a job is the football works the same way as Hollywood does. There's a boss that has your job all the time, and there's a million people that want your job. So that's the same problem he's got. You know, there's a lot of people that want to take over his job and will do it gladly. And if you're the guy that doesn't say a word, you know, comes to work, does his job, and leaves, you have a better chance of survival. And that's true in Hollywood. So what he did was he actually spoke up for a cause that he probably thought, this is a no-brainer. It's not exactly a hard cost. You're not doing anything that's really that radical. But it was for NFL, for football, and for the sports world and culture. It was radical to say it's okay for same-sex marriage. And that, to me, is surprising. And you see this homophobia in the league and things like this. Of course, it's not the same in Hollywood. But in football, we're still going back a decade or two.
Jimmy, what did you want to say? You don't think so? You don't buy that? You're not buying that? You think? I'm just not sure where I feel like you're coming from on this. Are you saying he should have kept his mouth shut, or he should have been prepared for this?
Where I'm coming from is that his claims don't ring true to me. I mean, I think 15 years ago, if he made this claim. I think I might have given it more weight. But I was listening to something on the radio, I think the other day. It may have been like Monday or Tuesday, and it was probably NPR, because that's all I listened to. But they were saying that this was like the gayest year. 2013 was like the gayest, the year of the gays. So it's like, wait a second. You know, I mean, because they're making all these strides, they're making all these appearances. Other people are writing and advocating for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. So now after you're not with this organization, you're going to come out with this claim at this time that you were somehow pushed out because of your advocacy. No,
isn't that a little like saying that because there's a black president, there's no racial profiling in the world? Also, I mean, isn't that the same kind of argument? Just because there are gains in one area doesn't mean that people still don't have attitudes.
I think now there's pushback. That's what's happening now.
I mean, sports is in a different century. People have to realize Chris Cluey doesn't have a job. Brendan Iambadejo, the person you mentioned before, doesn't have a job in the NFL.
Right.
Jason Collins is still waiting by the phone to see if he can get a job in the National Basketball Association. Sports has started to sound a different rhetoric on LGBT rights. There are new anti-discrimination statutes in the NBA and in the NHL. There's more public service announcements. But when it comes to the actual locker room culture, what you hear when you talk to coaches, when I talk to coaches, is you don't want distractions. You don't want distractions. And that distractions has become the kind of buzzword and co-word to say you don't want people speaking out about this issue because it'll hurt us on the bottom line. And the bottom line is both team performance and profitability in terms to appealing to as wide a fan base as possible.
Well, let's wheel around to another sports topic. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to our weekly Barbershop Roundtable. We're joined by sports editor Dave Zirin. That's who was speaking just now. Writer Jimmy Israel, journalist Corey Date, and film, television writer, actor, producer Rick Nahara. Let's talk about basketball player Dwayne Wade, the Miami Heat star. It comes out that he's fathered a child with another woman while he says he was on a break from his now fiancée, actress Gabrielle Union. He's taking, I want to say he's taking heat for it, but that was too corny, so I can't even say that. So we talked about this yesterday in our roundtable of women journalists and commentators. So I would like to ask the guys. Corey is acting like he would like to dive under the table, but he's saying the guys aren't talking about this, but maybe they should be talking about it.
It's responsibility. That's what we're talking about. It's responsibility. He was irresponsible, yet he was also responsible that he actually said, "This is my baby. I acknowledge my baby, and I will take care of my baby." But you know, let's just face it. In this day and age, you get a woman pregnant. I mean, I've been out of the dating scene for 11 years, but I believe in condoms.
Okay.
No, it goes a little deeper than that. It goes a little deeper than that because he had relationships with the Gabrielle Union.
One of the arguments that Kelly Goff made yesterday in the Barbershop is that you know, at an age where sexually transmitted disease is still an issue, and that people of his particular demographic are more likely to be affected by HIV/AIDS than other demographic groups, that just on that basis alone, that he should have taken more precautions, and that it shows a terrible example of a poor judgment.
And not for nothing, you know, this is where it gets a little barbershop. The young lady he had the baby with, you know, she had another baby by one of the Wayans clan. So, I mean, she could be a professional. You know what I'm saying?
What's the relevance of that? What are you saying there? What's the relevance for you? Well, here's what I'm suggesting.
That she could be a professional baby mama. And he owed it to himself,
Jimmy,
to protect himself.
Aren't we all raising one of the Wayans children at this point? I mean, I don't think that would be held against her at all. I mean, my neighbors have like 4.5 of them. I mean, come on.
I work with the Wayans. I was a writer in Living Color, so they're a lot of fun.
There you go. They're everywhere, right?
Everywhere. You can't fault her with that.
Well, Corey was saying that he doesn't think there's any larger meaning here to discuss it.
I think there's always a larger meaning to anything that happens in people's lives. You can always, because we're not separated from societal norms because we live in society, but I think I don't know that this is a question of irresponsibility so much as perhaps being dishonest and being careless.
That's irresponsibility.
It's a question about who he's being irresponsible to.
Right.
You're only irresponsible. Well, I don't see his legacy being damaged by this at all. I think the real damage is done perhaps to his relationship with Gabrielle Union. But she took that rock. So I get the impression that they may have decided that this is something that as a couple that they can actually weather. I mean, let's remember, she stuck with that dude through all the drama with his ex-wife, all the drama. And that put off them being together, that put off them getting married, et cetera. So now this is another setback. Perhaps at this point they have found ways to cope where they can actually, where she believes they can actually have an authentic marriage.
Well, man. You know, I wish them luck.
Good luck with that.
I mean, yeah, good luck with that. And there's a lot of different expressions of love and relationships all over the world.
Well, I don't know any self-respecting woman who marries a man thinking that they can't have an authentic marriage. Let's be honest here. I'm not saying it can happen, but you have to believe that your marriage.
Is there any relevance to the rest of us? Is there any relevance to the rest of us?
What about the children? Deserve some dignity?
I mean, what's your point? So you're saying, what's your point in terms of how we should think about this, if at all?
We should think about Dwayne Wade as the author of a book about fatherhood, who's out there playing Johnny Appleseed with his seed, and he's got two seeds at home that are watching, and he's trying to hold himself as some kind of role model.
Yeah,
this is a problem. This is a real problem.
I think he's still a role model. Being a role model implies somehow you don't make a mistake. Hmm. Role models make mistakes. People make mistakes. Everyone's a role model to somebody. That's the truth.
So then maybe the question
people
is
make
how
mistakes.
He handles
the question
this
is
going forward.
How he handles it going forward. How he takes care of this new child. How he explains this to his sons.
Union rights have taken a terrible beating in the 21st century. I just feel.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Goodbye. Okay. I will ask the other gentleman here, but we have time for just some very quick picks. Playoffs are this weekend. So, Rick, understand that you've got some skin in the game this weekend.
Yeah,
you're a Chargers fan.
I'm a Chargers
so you like
fan.
This weekend?
I'm from San Diego, and I got to say the Chargers are going to totally annihilate the Cincinnati Bengals. It's going to be painful for them, and I'm sorry to see it happen, but the Chargers will win. I predict it right now.
Okay.
And you can hold me on it.
Okay, Corey Dade. Ooh. Well, you know we'll be playing that like repeatedly, right? Corey Dade, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
As long as the Cowboys aren't in it, you know, I'm
it's all good to you.
No, but I have a sentimental favorite. I want to see the Bengals go all the way because I think Marvin Lewis has done a masterful job of creating a winning culture there and a very organized culture.
Okay. Dave Zirin is the pro.
I mean, I'm professionally paid to speak about this. That doesn't make me a pro. But mm-hmm. I think the Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of people are picking the Saints. The field is going to be covered in snow. It's going to look beautiful on television. Be murder to be sitting in the stands, but watch the Eagles to beat the Saints this weekend.
And Jimmy, you don't care.
Might as well go Bengals. Why not? They're in Ohio.
Okay. All right. That's Jimmy Israel is a writer. He joined us from Cleveland. Dave Zirin is a sports editor for The Nation magazine and host of Sirius XM Edge of Sports Radio with us from his cozy hot chocolate, wherever he is. with us in Culver City, California, Rick Najera, film and television writer and actor, author of Almost White, Forced Confessions of a Latino in Hollywood, and Corey Dade, contributing editor for The Root here in Washington, D.C. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our Barbershop podcast in the iTunes store or at npr.org. That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More.